He spent 4 years in the United States Air Force, 2 years in South America as an American missionary. He is a published author, former political consultant, an expert in history, economics, conspiracies, politics, philosophy, and religion. He has never missed a single question on an IQ test, making him the most intelligent patriot in America. Welcome to the Paul Drockton Radio Program.
Doing that and writing more articles, you know, that can be accessed through the internet. Because most of my articles, some of them sometimes appear on the website of AmericanFreePress.net, but most of them are only for subscribers to the online edition or the paper edition, which comes in the mail. But let's see, picking up where I was. Yeah, it got out around 12:45 for lunch. 12:45, 1 o'clock, and that's all I could have stayed for. There were some other things, but I want to get more into the vigil now. You know, when I walked out of this place, well, first of all, I got to tell you, there was so much there was so much propaganda put out by these speakers about how we have these Muslims in your community. These people are, this city is full of mosques. They're jihad training centers. To be a good Muslim is to be a violent Muslim. You know, they're out to get you, and you've got to be warriors in this fight against these people. Really, you know, just stirring up, you know, so much hatred. And
now, how did the audience receive this propaganda?
Oh, standing ovations. Especially, there was one speaker who said, you know, contrary to popular belief, the Muslims do not thrive on defeat. They don't want to be martyrs. But as far as I'm concerned, we can stand to give them quite a few more martyrs. And that got a standing ovation. That probably got more applause than anything. So meaning that, you know, the idea, this bloodthirsty killing, we need
to
go out there.
What a bunch of stupid people.
Yeah, just a bunch of stupid people. But there was all this, you know, talk about, you know, this fear of the protests and threats of violence against the conference and all this stuff. I wonder if anybody noticed when they walked out after lunch, that there was not one person on the street with a sign. There was nobody protesting. It was peace and quiet, just like you'd see in any, you know, upper-scale bedroom community, a church, just after Sunday, you know, session. There was nobody out there protesting.
Pamela Geller, on her website, she says, the UN, largely driven by the largest bloc of countries, Muslim countries, continues to vigorously pursue the imposition of Sharia law across the world. And then she says that she had to cancel her program. She says, and I quote, restriction of free speech is a basic tenet of Sharia law. And what was behind the cancellation of my event in Sugar Land, Texas, and Nashville, Tennessee? The war on truth, unquote.
Right, right, exactly. not a peep from the Muslim community. This is really going to put things into context, and it was actually a very heart-wrenching experience. I don't know if it's heartwarming or heart-wrenching, but anyway, once I left there, I headed for the airport, and I had a radio interview that I gave at 2 o'clock, and picked up Chuck shortly thereafter. And our intentions were to go to the largest mosque, the oldest mosque, in Nashville proper, within the city limits of Nashville, and to see if we could garner some kind of, or rally some kind of support from the Muslim community to join us out there on the street on Sunday to hold this vigil. And I'll tell you what happened.
All right. Stay tuned. We will be back in 3 minutes.
life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, RBN listeners. By now, most of you have started stocking up on gold and silver to get you through the upcoming economic crisis, and that's good. You're ahead of the crowd. But when the dollar finally fails, as every paper currency in the history of the world has failed, and silver and gold prices are worth hundreds or even tens of thousands of dollars an ounce, do you really expect to be able to easily trade them for basic essentials? With precious metals prices soaring, now may be the time to take a look at copper. For thousands of years, copper was used daily for bartering in the marketplace, and we're guessing we'll need it again, and very soon. Visit AOCScopper.com, the nation's largest private producer of copper medallions, and browse our huge selection. Stock up now while you still have time. That's AOCScopper.com, and use promo code RBN to receive free shipping. Don't get stuck without a practical way to trade. Visit AOCScopper.com and get prepared today.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more. Or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest is Keith Johnson. I love your stories. I like stories. I like things like this. So, okay.
Well,
next chapter.
Yes. Okay. So we book it on down to try to rally some support from the Muslim community, see if they can come out there on the street. And basically, our intention was: have you ever met a Muslim? That would be one of our questions to their congregation on Sunday. Have you ever met a Muslim? Would you like to meet a Muslim? Would you like to talk to a Muslim? Because we don't expect them to get up out of their soft, comfy seats in these air-conditioned auditorium, you know, and get in their high-priced automobiles. And believe me, there were many, Mercedes and Cadillac Escalades, all, you know, very expensive automobiles, and drive down to their local mosque. So we thought we'd bring a Muslim to them. So we go to the other side of the tracks, which is south of the 40 freeway. And I was expecting, this being the largest mosque, that it would be, quite impressive, maybe with a dome on the top and, big parking lot and all sorts of things. And this is in a poorer section of town. And when we passed it, because if you blink, you can't see it. It's so small. It's, several blocks down from the 40 freeway. It was like 2100 in the 2100 block. So you can imagine every 100 block, what is that? I don't know, 21 blocks. But way down there, way down there. And this thing is probably the size of a three-bedroom house. And it looks like a converted three-bedroom house that was built in the 60s. Kind of run down, definitely not something that looked impressive whatsoever. There were a couple cars in the parking lot, but instead of Mercedes and high-end automobiles, there were a couple of taxi cabs, one beat-up old car. We walk into this place, and I'll describe it to you. It's very simple. There's a room that's probably about, I don't know, 8 by 10, where you take your shoes off. There's shelves on each side. Put the shoes in the shelves. To your right is a little office, which was open. You could peek inside there. We were actually invited in later on, but you could peek inside there. It's about the same size as that little lobby that I told you about 8 by 10, with a desk. It's very cluttered. So only enough room for the person to sit behind the desk and a couple guests. We looked at the walls. Look at the books on the walls. It had the Quran and some other things. We didn't notice there was a computer system, you know, a computer in there. We're living in the modern age now. But I didn't notice any, you know, war plans or globes with, you know,
with
maps
targets
on,
and
or no maps
and...
on the wall, anything like that. And then beyond the lobby, where beyond the lobby, when you come back out of the lobby, there's a large room for prayer, just a carpeted, you know, room. Couple pillars there with some books on this little pillar, and that's it. And some people in there praying. That was it. We met with the public relations director of this Islamic Center, the Nashville Islamic Center, I believe is what it was called, and we told him why we were there. We made arrangements, Chuck made arrangements to meet with him earlier in the week, I guess, and we sat in that little room. And, you know, as people were coming in, they were just, I mean, they looked like just working class people that were having a hard time making a living but found enough time to come in there and pray. And when they looked into the room, they didn't look at us like, hey, and we're a couple white guys, you know. Most of these people are of Middle Eastern or they're black or, you know, or come from Nigeria or Somalia or whatever, or they're American blacks. But they didn't look at us with any suspicion like, hey, could these guys be from the FBI or something? You know, maybe they're here to serve a warrant and find out all of our, you know, plans to take over Nashville. You know, it wasn't anything like that. And we talked to the public relations director, and we told him, listen, you know, we'd like to get some people out there, especially some young kids. We're going to be holding this vigil. We're, you know, protesting this church because we believe that they stand for war. It's a Christian Zionist church that has lost its way. They are not adherent to Orthodox Christianity, and this is a perversion, much like Wahhabism is to Islam. Christian Zionism is to Christianity. It's a perversion. It's bad. And, you know, he looked at us, and he nodded, and I gave him that material that you sent along to me about the Noahide laws, and he kind of thumbed through it. And his response was, listen, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, listen, you know, you guys can go home after this. But, you see, when they see some Muslim faces there, you know, they may be targeted. We don't want to even make any kind of, you know, slight a gesture that would appear confrontational or aggressive. In other words, these people are scared out of their minds. They're living in fear. You see what I'm saying?
For fear of the Jews, right?
Yeah. Well, they're in fear of these crazy, I don't want to say rednecks. They're not all rednecks, but these crazy Christian fundamentalists, these crazy Christian Zionists who believe that they are the enemy and that they are going to take over the world. I mean, it's just so preposterous and absurd. I mean, you know, Muslims make up 0.06% of the entire population of the United States. As far as Arabs, they compose 2% of the population of the United States. And most of those people are Lebanese who have been here for years. And if you talk to Lebanese people, most Lebanese people, you can't even distinguish them between Caucasian anymore. I mean, they have fully assimilated into society.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. So into American society. But anyway, so, you know, I understood that, and I said, yeah, you know, I can completely understand that and sympathize with you, and I can understand why you wouldn't want to be out there on the street. You know, we could be out there and we can leave, but yes, you do have to live with these people. And, so he didn't say that, he wouldn't be there. He said, "I'll spread the word, and I'll let some people know. And if they decide they want to do it, that's fine." And I had to leave because I had some other commitments. But Chuck stayed for a couple more hours, and they took him. You know, he met with some younger kids who sounded enthusiastic and said, "Well, yeah, well, we might be there." But they didn't show on Sunday. And as a matter of fact, I put out word on. Well, did you mention it on your program?
I did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You did, and I also made a mention on another RBN show, and Chuck sent out a lot of emails to people trying to, you know, garner some kind of support. It was even in the newspaper in the Tennessean that we were going to be there. And guess how many people showed up on Sunday?
10.
Not one. Zero. Not one person showed up. And, you know, I know you can... Huh?
Oh, no. My word.
No, it was just me and Chuck. But, you see, I can understand, and I kind of look at this, I try to look at this in a positive way, because what this does, when they see us out there on Sunday morning, two old guys carrying signs, one says, who would Jesus bomb, a big question mark, and the other guy's saying, no more wars for Israel. When they see this, it kind of just takes their whole idea of this big mass amount of
opposition.
It just sinks it completely. And I actually sent an email to this pastor and said, look, and told him what happened. I said, listen, we tried to get support. We tried to get people out there. What kind of threat do you think is really out there? I mean, really. I mean, it was Pamela Geller. Like you said, Pamela Geller even canceled it out of fear of some kind of confrontation, and all that showed up was Chuck Carlson and myself. And Chuck and I stand a head above Chuck Carlson. I'm not even that tall, but we're just two old guys standing out there. And we gave them an opportunity. You know, there was all this, you know, there was all this talk, all this, you know, rallying up, just getting ready for war. And yes, we're going to go fight these people. Well, here we are. You know, confront us. Come out here and talk to us. And when
and
we're old,
not even Muslim.
Huh? Well, yeah, we're not even Muslim. And most people that did came in just didn't even give us eye contact. And since this was my first vigil, I guess I should explain what these vigils were all about, but I'll complete my thought here. While we were at this vigil, we were there as people came into Sunday school, as people came in for the church service, and as they left the church service. And these people merely had to walk out of the church and walk across the parking lot, which isn't too far, and come up and talk to us, either confront us or ask us why we were there, try to get some idea of what we were all about. Not one person had the courage to do it. Not one.
Well, I hope you shamed them. I really do. I hope those signs just really shamed them.
We also had another sign that said, well, I held two signs. I held one that said, it was a big, huge sign that kept blowing away in the wind, but it said, choose life, not war. And we got some kind of thumbs up. I don't think people really understood what we meant, but it kind of challenged them to think about it. And especially that one, who would Jesus bomb? That really was a good one. That was one that Chuck was holding. He also held one that said Palestine, which was a yellow cross that said Palestine across it with blood all over it. And, you know, we thought at least someone would come up. And I guess one guy did say to Chuck, he pointed his head out the window and said, the Palestinians brought it on themselves, you know, really angry.
Oh, my word.
I got a couple middle fingers, believe it or not. You
oh,
wouldn't
my
expect that.
Word.
Yeah, a couple middle fingers. One guy told me, I better not see you back here next week, buddy, that kind of thing. But you see, nobody wanted to come and talk to us and see what we were all about. But, very, very, very interesting. Now, what is more intriguing about this story is the background on the pastor of this church. His name is Mari Davis. Now, he was the only one to come out and talk to us. I don't know if I said nobody came out to talk to us. I should have amended it by saying that the pastor did, but nobody from the congregation did, just the pastor. But Mari Davis.
And how many people do you think were attending there Sunday morning?
Oh, probably 3,000. 3,000 people. Oh, yeah, it took about an hour to clear the parking lot. They had to do traffic control. Police are there doing traffic control. But
wow.
Nobody, you know.
All righty, we do have to do a break.
Easy.
We will be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
I was just reading some comments by some people regarding the conference, and from Chuck's page.
Uh-huh.
There was an article in the local newspaper, the Tennessean,
mm-hmm.
and the first comment says, "What about free speech? Do you see any Cornerstone members protesting in front of mosques that spew hate all the time? Maybe if the group had attended the conference, they would have learned why the Sharia conference was held."
Well, all I have to say to that is, the commenter says, you see them protesting outside a mosque? Is that what he said?
Yeah, right. He says,
okay, well, they have. As a matter of fact, just a few miles south is a place called Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where hundreds of people showed up because the Muslims wanted to build a mosque there instead of having to pray in an industrial complex, which is just like a little warehouse. And they were there to protest that. The sign that was on the property that said future site of so-and-so mosque or the Murfreesboro Mosque was vandalized. The Muslims received threats. People brought dogs to humiliate the Muslims. They disrupted their prayer sessions. They had signs of pig heads and signs that said Sharia with blood dripping off of it. So, you know, what is he talking about? Yeah, these people show up. These people have showed up to mosques in the past. I mean, we saw what happened in New York. So,
sure.
And you know, it's just disgusting. Ugh.
Wow. So the pastor came out and he talked to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is an intriguing part of the story, and one of the things that Chuck included in his letter is this guy has a very sordid past. But the pastor is named Maury Davis, and I believe he's about 53, 54 years old right now. But he comes from a well-to-do Christian family, according to some of the background that I've read on him. But at the age of 18 years old, he and one of his buddies were out just creating some kind of mischief. And this crime is so brutal and so ugly that it's almost hard to fathom. They found this woman, 54-year-old woman, and she spilled paint on his shoes, I guess like kicked over a bucket of paint, and it's kind of splattered on his new boots or something like that. So he took a Bowie knife, and he severed her head almost completely off of her neck, all the way to the bone. And this is Maury Davis. He, in his, you know, if you go to his website, you know, Cornerstone Church, Nashville, he says that he was, you know, at 18, was convicted of murder and, you know, did his time and then found the Lord. He doesn't tell the whole story, though. He doesn't tell the whole story about this horrific crime that he was involved in, senseless, for absolutely no reason, except that this woman spilled paint on his shoes. He didn't come from an abusive family. He came from a Christian home. Now, my question, okay, I'll go beyond what happened next after he was arrested and convicted, but let me ask you this, Deanna, can you imagine if the imam of the largest mosque in Tennessee had previously been convicted of severing a 54-year-old woman's head almost completely off her body? Can you imagine the outcry? Can you imagine the outrage?
Oh, it would be on every news channel. It would be in every newspaper. My goodness.
Yeah, and we hear this all the time on how they're always, you know, Muslims are always cutting people's heads off and committing acts of violence. But anyway, he went to prison, and he found jailhood, you know, or jailhouse Jesus, which most everybody does. They always find religion when they're in a bad situation. He got a good lawyer, apparently, who got him off the death penalty and received like 26 years in prison or something like that. But because of overcrowding, because he was a model prisoner and a good Christian boy, he was let out after 8.5 years. Now, we have 8.5 years for this brutal crime, and we have Ed and Elaine Brown serving 35 years in prison, a literal death sentence, because they didn't want to pay their taxes. Where is the justice in this world? It's
right.
Disgusting.
Well, we have Robert Platshorn, who was on my program 3 weeks ago, who was in jail for 30 years mm-hmm. for selling marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So who knows what kind of connections this guy had, what kind of strings were pulled. But anyway, after he got out of prison, you know, he joined a church, married, you know, has a model lifestyle, a fairy tale lifestyle after that, and became a preacher. And he's been living the good life. And you would think, okay, well, it's not us to judge him for his crime. But the thing is he lies when he says that he made overtures to the surviving member of his family and that they came, or the woman was named Joella Lyles. I wonder if anybody in the congregation even knows the name of the murder victim or her son's name, Ron Lyles. Mr. Davis says that he's made overtures and said, is there anything that we can do? Can we meet? And, you know, kind of bury the hatchet, no pun intended. And Mr. Davis claims that they said, no, that's fine. It's, you know, it looks like you did something well with your life. We're glad to see it. This is an absolute lie. According to an article that came out about 2 years ago, this poor kid who lost his mother works in a pharmacy, a CVS pharmacy somewhere in Texas, and calls him a liar. Says, no, you know, this man's a liar. And he doesn't believe that the man is fully repented.
Right. We do have to go to a break.
Okay.
We will be back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? And that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. Our guest is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltoftheplebs.com. What kind of church is this, this Cornerstone Church? Is it Baptist or...
that's a good question. Apparently Chuck's done the research. He's deemed it a Christian Zionist church. So, you know, there are various churches that claim various denominations, but all practice the same thing.
Now, I wonder who hired Pastor Davis to beat up on the Muslims.
Yeah, I do not know. I don't know how. I guess he's a kind of a charismatic guy, you know.
Oh.
So. I guess he came to that church. There were, I think, just a few hundred people, and he actually built up the congregation to what it is now. So, if you're a good actor, I guess you can pull off just about anything.
Right.
And, I will reiterate this, too. It's not ours to judge, someone's past. We've all made mistakes, even horrific things that, it's up to God to forgive, and he does, I guess, but in order to be forgiven, there has to be repentance, and that's what Chuck kind of emphasized in his letter to this pastor. He says, you have such a horrible past, well, I'm paraphrasing again, you have this horrible past, how can you say that you're a repentant sinner when you're advocating war, when you're advocating, a campaign against these people and, calling for war on Iran. And, even right. if he's not, you know, even if he's not saying this directly, I mean, he gave his church open to this vile, disgusting conference, and that's what, you know, Chuck put in. He CC'd it all to all of the staff, all of his assistant pastors and everything, to let, you know, so there was absolutely no doubt that he had received this and that we were coming. And so, anyway, while we were there, early in the morning, this pastor comes out, and he went to Chuck and says, "Why are you here?" And he says, "Well, you should know why I'm here. I sent you the letter." And he just kind of feigned, like, "Oh, I don't know," you know, played stupid, basically lying with his facial gestures. And he says, well, again, why are you here? And he says, "Well, I want you to answer this question. Who would Jesus bomb?" And he says, "I don't understand." He says, "Yeah, you don't understand, do you? You know, who would Jesus bomb?" And his whole point is, Chuck's whole point is, that there is nothing in the New Testament. If we look at the New Testament, we look at the words of Christ, there is no justification for war. Jesus does not give any authorization or permission to do preemptive strikes on the enemies of Israel. As a matter of fact, if you just read the story of Christ, you will find that his mission here on earth was to challenge Jewish power. Who did he chase out of the temple? Who did he turn the tables on? This is just, there's no biblical justification for it. I mean, Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers.
And right.
This guy,
and it seems the churches have just abandoned that activity of chasing the moneylenders out of the temple court.
Yeah.
And they don't remember that he talked about peace and to turn the other cheek and to do good unto those who despitefully use you and all of the other things. They seem to totally abandon that.
So, they have. And this Christian Zionism, which we'll get into a minute if we have time, but it's only been around for 100 years. This is not Orthodox Christianity. This is a perversion. Like I said, this is perverted as Wahhabism is to Islam, which we don't have time to get into, but maybe at some time in the future. However, just going on with this story, the guy ended up calling Chuck an idiot. He just lost it. And Chuck told me later on, he says, "Well, I could see that fire in this guy's eyes. You know, this guy just looks like he's got that same old, you know, that same old, you know, angry,
And he didn't even spill any paint on his shoes, did he?
Huh?
And yeah, Chuck didn't even spill any paint on his shoes.
Exactly. It's a good thing he didn't have a knife, and it's a good thing we didn't have a bucket of paint. Who knows what would have happened. So he called him an idiot, and, you know, he also said, he says, "I don't know what you're doing out here," but he said that we were kind of bad people because we were inside fellowshipping with fellow Christians. And Chuck soundly told him, you people aren't Christians. This is an apostate church. We wouldn't be caught in there. We don't fellowship with these kinds of people." So he stormed off. He kind of made his way towards me, and he says, "Is this what you want to do for the rest of your life?" And I kind of took a couple steps towards him and said, "Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet," you know, indicating that I might be back. And then he kind of turned tail and walked away. He's kind of a short guy. If you punch his name up in the internet, you'll see an image. It's spelled M-A-U-R-Y. Davis, D-A-V-I-S. He was spit an image of Netanyahu. I mean, he's a cross between Netanyahu. I mean, if you look at the guy, he looks like a spit an image.
Maybe they're related or something.
Yeah, he looks like a cross between Abraham Foxman and Benjamin Netanyahu. It's uncanny. But anyway, that was the only contact we had with any member of his church, with the pastor himself. And,
unbelievable. You know, we do have some calls.
Okay.
I forgot to encourage people to call, but we do have some. Let's take Paul in New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
The Christian Zionists are setting them up, or at least foreign Christians, up for failure. You know, of all the countries we've entered and bombed, such as Iraq, Afghanistan, and with our more covert interventions in Libya and Egypt, in all those countries you see the establishment of, if not Sharia law, more Sharia-friendly law. And here this is at the defense of the United States government. and that in many of these countries, Christianity is somewhat persecuted or frowned upon, and they're not getting the good treatment they had under the more secular leaders like Saddam Hussein and Omar Gaddafi. So they've set themselves up for disaster for their fellow Christians overseas. But, and one other comment is, though, but inadvertently, and I don't think intentionally, I do believe, though, that they are aligned with our founders, and that our founders never really wanted Muslims to emigrate to the United States or to establish themselves up as colonists in the West. And as we know, the first mosque was established in Maine in 1915. So it's only because of, and it's very ironic, because of the Jewish push for multiculturalism, as Islam started to become present in the United States and Western nations. So I believe, I consider myself a patriot. I'm against Muslim immigrants coming to the United States, and that's why I'm kind of disappointed with your guest, Deanna.
And where does your disappointment lie?
In that he seems to be an apologist for Islam, he doesn't mention that the first mosque or the history of Islam in this country, or that our founders never really wanted Islam established in this country.
I disagree with that. Thomas Jefferson owned a copy of the Quran.
But that doesn't mean he brought in immigrants from Islamic countries. He didn't advocate that. As a matter of fact, he
brought in immigrants from Islamic countries. If you know anything about the transatlantic slave trade, which was run by the Jews, 50% of the blacks they brought over here were Muslims.
Well, and then they converted them to Christianity. And then they converted them to Christianity. That's right.
They converted them to the Old Testament.
Right, and basically the Christian form. It wasn't Judaism by
any means. Any time that a preacher got up, see, Christianity's been corrupted long before Christian Zionism, but it's really been corrupted with Christian Zionism. But every justification that they gave for slavery came from the Old Testament.
That would be true. But I would say that our founders, you know, they waged war against the Libyans in Tripoli under Jefferson. I don't think it was Libya at the time. But he didn't say afterwards to bring Islamic immigrants into this country. As a matter of fact, in 1791, there was a naturalization pact which said that the people who were to be citizens were to be white men of good character. And so they generally meant Christians from Western Europe. So for you to advocate...
he's not advocating anything.
I think so. I think he's an apologist for Islam. Islam belongs where it belongs, in the Middle East. And to bring it to the Western nations and tolerate it or think they're just fine and dandy is really not what our patriots intended. So you're not patriots.
Well, every time I get on the radio, I get the Christian identity crowd because they know I'm coming. And they usually get on here. Well, let me tell you something. There wasn't a large wave of Muslim immigration into this country until after 1965, when they passed immigration reform.
Right, and that was passed, pushed by Jews, actually, Seller Hart.
Exactly. I mean,
yes.
But you have to understand, most of the immigration came right after 1967, and that was what? That was the Six-Day War that was waged on Palestine, which displaced millions of Palestinians. Now, most of those moved into neighboring countries like Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, and Cyprus, but next was Europe, because it's close to the United States, and then the United States. So, I mean, we have had more Palestinian migration into this country 11 times more than any wave of Arab immigration into this country came after 1967. And then it came in 1975, and then in 1982. And it's all because of wars waged in that region. It displaced all these people.
Which I would agree with. However, again, our founders, like George Washington,
they
didn't want us intervening
founders,
overseas,
Paul,
and they didn't
you.
Want immigrants
thank
from Islamic.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
All
right.
Let's
take Werner from New Brunswick.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Werner.
Oh, not too bad under the circumstances, you know. We shall not leave the smile of our faces. Even so, sometimes we have to do quite a few hard battles. But the last caller, I don't know his mindset. I've encountered it so many times. And they don't even, those people, they don't want to face the fact. How many Christians over the centuries got killed by Muslims, and how many Muslims got slaughtered by Christian armies? You know? And what your guest was saying there, you know what the Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers and not the bomb throwers.
Right.
Most definitely, yes. And I've heard, I'm a fan of yours, Warner. I heard you just a couple days ago. And
No. Don't be a fan of any human being. We're all fallible, you know.
Okay.
We are just try to muddle and to find our way through all this confusion that has been created.
Exactly.
And one thing what I found out over the years, what gave me basically always an anchor, you know, to go back to is what the Lord said in the scriptures, you know. We don't always live up to, you know, we stumble and bungle along the way, but it's always something where we can hold on to and find our bearings again.
Yes, most definitely.
You know, and I am so disgusted about what NATO and the hooligan squad, what they have done over the years, you know, destroying one country after another. And especially here in the United States, the wealth of the country never was distributed to an extent, for example, the way it was under Gaddafi in Libya, you know?
Mm.
And as many times mentioned here on your program, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. And as I say, basically Gaddafi and his country, it was standing out like a sore thumb.
Sure,
you know?
Those people and had a wonderful life. They had free health care. They had could go to school for free. They got a big check to set up their first apartment. They actually participated in the profits from the oil. Gaddafi had just built this amazing network of water that would allow water to places that had been barren and dry, nothing more than a desert. And of course, they had to take him out. And of course, he didn't have a central bank, and there was no usury.
And basically, he was rivaling Israel, you know, make the desert bloom.
Sure.
And I talked to George Messaros there about a week ago, and he said, what my attention to it is that Libya would have become a fierce rival for Israel in their citrus fruit market, especially on the European.
Oh yes.
You know.
Yes. So they went in and destroyed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me. I mean, what was done to Libya prior to the NATO invasion. Was kind of harkened back to early Los Angeles when it was considered the destination, the place to go. I mean, they had no water in their desert until aqueducts were built that brought it into there and made it a paradise. And can you imagine?
There was I read years ago about Sutherland, you know,
mm-hmm.
and when he had they had established plantations and everything, made everything bloom, and then the gold rush came and just destroyed most of it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But as I say, you know, those so-called, I haven't seen over the last 30-some years, I haven't seen the mainline churches, I haven't seen them bear any fruit when it comes to really standing up for their fellow men and for people in this country, you know? And for justice and so.
Mm-hmm.
They want numbers in the church. They want paying members. And what I noticed there a few years ago, one church that came up there about 30 years ago, the pastor, I followed it up over the years, he was always driving the biggest and the fanciest cars in the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The corporations.
Yeah, you remember Jim and Tammy Baker?
Oh, yeah.
Characters, yeah.
Big business. But anyway, you got other callers there, and I thought I'd just throw a few things in, you know.
Well,
thank you.
It was good to hear you.
Yeah. And keep up the good work.
All right. You too.
Thanks.
All righty. We have somebody in Tennessee. Let's take Chris.
Hello.
Chris, welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I love Warner. He's a great guy. I hear him calling on a lot of different shows, but a very interesting perspective. Haven't been a lot of places he's been, but you were out in front of the Cornerstone Church there at near the I-65 interstate there. Was it a week or two ago?
Over this weekend off the 65 freeway on Highland. Yeah.
I saw you. I rode by you on my way to the corporate church I attend here in Nashville. And I said, well, I saw the sign. I said, this guy's got a clue.
All righty. We do have to take a break. Chris, hang on over the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
And is Chris still on the line from Tennessee?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, and you drove by and you saw these two guys out there?
Yeah, I saw the sign. What caught my eye was what the sign said. I said, well, this is the first protester that actually have a clue what's really going on in the world.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And Spingola's you as well.
Maybe just a clue, but not all the answers.
That's
I'm gathering clues, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah, with the evidence that's out there, I mean, pretty clear.
Okay, Chris, did you have a question? Or?
No, I just wanted to let him know he didn't go unnoticed.
Well, I appreciate that.
Unappreciated.
Well, that's great.
Next time you guys are, where's your next outing?
Well, I'd like to go back, even if I have to go by myself. I'm going to take a different sign, I think, and I think that sign is going to say Christian Zionists are traitors to Christ and to America. Or I'll have a sign that says choose one, and then a couple boxes you would check. One says America, one says Israel. You know, something a little bit more provocative, you know, rather than making them, you know, think. But if you go to Charles' site, We Hold These Truths, it's actually WTT or WHTT.org. He has updates, and it explains his organization, what he's done. He's given vigils to probably, maybe close to 100 different megachurches, including John Hagee's down there in Texas. And he does this on a regular basis. He funds it mostly from his own pocket and through, you know, a few donations. I should say there were probably 20 people. Apparently he says that he's had as many as 20 people participate in these vigils. It's, you know, the lowest he's had is 2 people, but usually it's about, I don't know, like a dozen or half a dozen. That's based upon what he's told me, so it varies.
Right. So maybe if you go back, maybe Chris will join you.
Hey, that'd be great.
I understand that this, from my understanding, this Cornerstone is affiliated with Hagee and those guys.
Oh, it probably is.
My understanding is that it's just been one of the many outposts they have throughout this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, they certainly are of the same mind, that's for sure.
But anyway, they're another of the many corporate churches in this country and around the world. So what can you expect?
That's right.
Appreciate you, both of you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Let's see. Do we have any more callers? There is a Wayne in Indiana. Let's quickly take his call.
Thank you. I agree wholeheartedly with what Paul said earlier.
Ross, you haven't called for a while. Hey, thanks a bunch for calling. Thank you anyway. Take care, Russ.
Yeah, I know Russ too. Deanna, you will find, if I'm a guest on your program, you will find a lot of people calling in. They know me, they follow me, and they take any opportunity that they can because they consider me to be, like that one caller said, an apologist. And you'll find them mostly coming from this white Christian identity movement, which is just basically them saying that they believe that they're the chosen people. You see, and my whole mission in life is to I am completely opposed to any kind of supremacy, any kind of racial supremacy, any kind of national supremacy. You know.
Right. Well, we have run out of time. Keith, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Well, thank you. I hope to come back sometime.
Well, I hope so too. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Join me. I'm subbing for John today at 4 o'clock.